B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub.
Antonio Brown reportedly wants to resolve his off-field issues so he can get back.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Gasper and Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub here with you from the Town Fair Tire Studios. Gloomy Saturday. Wish I could do this show from my bed on days like this, Chris. Oh, that would be bliss. Got myself a new bed at the house, too.
Oh, you did? Really?
Good old Baba Petick. Hashtag ad. But, finally broke the bank a little bit. Got a king-size bed. Someone's all grown up now.
Good for you.
I never want to get out of it. It's like sleeping in mashed potatoes.
I need a new mattress. I am overdue.
Got to do it. For years, I was so cheap. Like, every 8 years, you got to change that thing. Pfft, I'll ride this out for 15. Thing's just disgusting and filthy. It's like, it's like you're sleeping on a sub wrapper. Thing stinks.
Yeah, I'm about at the 8 year. We're about 8 years right now.
Gotta pull that trigger. So Chris and I are here. We got Matt McCarthy alongside as well. Tracy Clements producing the show, and you at 617-779-0985. Just quickly, baseball boy over there. Will you continue the Hardcore Baseball Podcast throughout the winter, correct?
Yeah, so we'll go to more bi-weekly or not as regular in the off-season. But, yeah, we're still weekly right now through the end of the World Series, and we'll probably do an off-season preview episode as well.
Have you been enjoying the postseason?
Yeah, I think it's been overall a pretty good product for baseball. I mean, you get three Game 5s in the LDS, and not all of them were great, but I thoroughly enjoyed the first inning of the Braves and the Cardinals. That was delicious. How could you not like Game 5 between the Nationals and the Dodgers? And I think it's been overall pretty good for baseball, and thank God the Rays didn't advance. Thank God we get Yankees Astros, which is going to be an outstanding series, and I think the Nationals are a great story. So I think it's been pretty good so far for baseball this October.
You know my stance, and you mentioned your realignment ideas in terms of making the regular season more interesting, and I'm all for that, because the regular season to me it's interminable. If I had it my way, I'd cut 62 games off. You end it in August, you start your postseason in August, and get the hell out of football's way. But all that being said, I do still enjoy the postseason. And this, in terms of the sport schadenfreude, enjoying the pain of others, it's been great. Yeah, Atlanta sports teams, death, taxes, and Atlanta sports team failure. Oh, you could set a watch on that. That first inning the other day was so great.
I've never seen you so overjoyed by really anything in life.
It was so fun.
That was
well,
delicious.
Then you should have been up late with me the other night when I was just about to go to bed, and I was about to turn the TV off, and I say, well, the Dodgers are warming up Clayton Kershaw. I know how this ends, so I'm going to stay up for this. And boy, that was so great. Oh, those two home runs, tie game. And then Joe Kelly, who you can take the bum off the wheel of gutless bums, but you can't take the bum out of you can't take the gutlessness out of that bum. And that was Joe Kelly, who made a deal with Satan himself last year to help the Red Sox win the World Series. And that's all well and good. But I know who he is at his core. And he was great in that ninth inning. And I thought, Dave Roberts can't be so stupid to bring him out for the 10th. Oh boy, he did.
And not only did he bring him at Jim, he left him out there to rot.
Yeah, so Dave Roberts turns into a statue, or he's just paying attention to the computers in the back that make all the decisions for these moron managers in Major League Baseball now. And that's really my bigger beef, maybe more than anything, just because it's contributed to the length and the predictability of the sport. It's just strikeouts and home runs and walks. Thanks, nerds, and your stupid computers.
Three true outcomes.
Oh, I hate it. You get the grand slam off Joe Kelly. I mean, it was almost too much. I tweeted at the time, McCarthy, I meant it. I almost needed a cigarette afterwards. Like, that was almost sexual in nature of how much I enjoyed that. Oh, so great. Clayton Kershaw, because you know what it is? He is, for all the nerds and those, because you're a baseball guy that gets it, and there's not too many of you left.
Well, thank you.
Because these baseball nerds that are so defensive about everything, and they're not so open-minded as you are, and they get defensive when you say that the sport needs to change. They're the ones that look at Clayton Kershaw and say, well, no, he's the best pitcher of this generation, of the last decade. Clutch doesn't exist. Clutch doesn't exist? Look at what happened in that Game 5, and I will tell you, nerd, that shows you that clutch is real. Compare him to Madison Bumgarner, who I think has been to the postseason, five times, has three rings, right?
Yeah.
And Clayton Kershaw, who's now been to the postseason nine times, zero rings, pukes all over himself time and time and time again. Clutch is real, you nerd idiots. Like, look at him. He pukes on himself every single time. The regular season is irrelevant. He stinks. Oh, that was so enjoyable.
Yeah, I mean, you can't take the human element out of the game, which is what really sort of is happening more and more with baseball.
Oh, they want to. Believe me, they want to.
Whether it's situations like that or whether it's like, you know, Dave Roberts doing – I mean, I happen to think Dave Roberts is actually not a good manager. I mean, whatever,
no, he's not.
Whatever decisions he gets to make, I feel like are not good. And you there has to be, McCarthy, some element of – looking out there and seeing what's going on and like feel and it really was nailed down for me afterwards when he was asked about what happened there with like Kershaw and Kelly, and he like literally couldn't explain it.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. And though Roberts is one of those managers who just obeys the analytics, and you see this across baseball. There's a perfect example. Game one, Twins Yankees. That series was over in the fifth inning because they took their ace, Jose Berríos, out, who didn't have great stuff, but was battling at Yankee Stadium, which the nerds can't quantify, is still the toughest place, maybe in sports, you know, when all is on the line in October. I mean, you go into Yankee Stadium, try and get three outs there, it's impossible. The Twins take him out of the game at 85 pitches. You know why? Because the nerds say, no, not third time through the order. That's fine. So they take him out, they go to the bullpen, and they lose that game, they lose the series. They're starting Uber drivers over their second-best pitcher because they feel his ground ball rate is slightly better, and that, you know, is the reason why he should pitch on the road. Like, that's the problem. You're taking the human element out of baseball, and the sooner that teams like that rely heavily on the analytics, like the Dodgers, like the Twins, like the Rays, are out of the postseason, and you get some teams that maybe can mix and match and do
trust
a little bit of
gut.
Both and go with their gut and say, you know what, Garrett Cole's dealing, we're going to let him pitch eight innings, or Justin Verlander's dealing, we're going to let him, you know, go seven innings. When you have teams like that advance, I think that's better for the sport.
Yeah.
I don't know, though. I mean, the Astros are pretty analytical, and from what I understand,
and all like, these teams are analytical.
Like Cora, Alex Cora, like your team, McCarthy, could be becoming more and more like the Dodgers and like the Astros, whether Friedman's here or not, because that's what Cora wants. Like, they want more and more just analytics and like pump it into the veins of the players. So
I don't doubt that for one second, but at least AJ Hinch and the Astros are certainly one of the most analytical organizations in baseball right now. At least AJ Hinch has the gut feel to say, you know what, the numbers say take my starter out third time through the order, but I've got Justin Verlander, he's pitching seven tonight, or I've got Garrett Cole, he's pitching eight tonight. And that seems so simple.
Oh, yeah, because they're the two best pitchers in the league.
You got the two best pitchers in the league, but there are other managers, like Dave Roberts would take that guy out.
Yeah, you're probably
or
right.
Rocco Baldelli or Kevin Cash are like, no, we got to take that guy out.
Dave Roberts did take that guy out in the World Series last year.
Yeah. Yes.
Rich Hill was dealing.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the problem. And, you know, I think that drives casual fans away.
And
I really do.
And on the Twins too, I just have to say, like, not much offends me in sports, but the Twins offend me, like the Oakland A's. Like, get out of my face. Stop wasting everybody's time. You get to the postseason, you just waste everyone's time. You're never going to win. You fail time and again. Just go away.
Is it 16 straight losses?
16 straight.
Putrid.
Which is postseason losses.
I mean, that's almost an accident. It's extraordinarily impressive to lose 16 straight baseball, like postseason baseball games. How is that even possible?
Ed in Woburn on the NFL officiating that we were bitching about earlier. Go ahead, Ed.
So, guys, the biggest call that no one really even talked about, and this is why that stupid rule was put in this year, there's a 3rd and 38 in the Kansas City game, and they throw up Mahomes is holding in the end zone, which would have been a safety, and he throws it to the 50, and the Chiefs receiver bumps into the Colts guy, and they throw a flag. If they challenged that, they would not have overturned it. And the Chiefs would have had 1st and 10 at the 50.
Yeah.
And that would have changed that whole game around. And, like, no one talked about it because it's offsetting penalties. But that's one of those plays it offends me that the refs would even think to throw a flag at 3rd and 38. You have to be, like, tackling the receiver going down the field for them to call that. Because it just bails out the offense. And that's supposedly why this rule is in place. And then the second point is, the biggest problem is this competition committee. You think of what they've done to the game going from 03 even up now. Now it's holding and this stupid passing interference call. How about the commissioner legislates the game?
Oh, Ed, they've watered the product down. And I've realized, and I don't know how these stay up, but thank God that they do. If you're an old like me, or if you just like really enjoy football, or maybe you were old enough to remember how it kind of used to be back in my day, but you can find full games on YouTube. And I recently watched the 1990 NFC Championship game, which was the Giants upset in San Francisco against the Niners, where it's the hit that ultimately changes the career of Joe Montana. It's a hit where you watch it like it's sick. I can't help myself. But you can literally see Joe Montana's soul leave his body. It's so violent. It's so vicious and it's so awesome. It's you just watch the sport. It's not the same sport. It's completely different. That's 90. Go back 5 years, watch a full game. Watch Super Bowl 49. It's completely different. They've watered it down. That call he's talking about, too, that was negated because of the hold in the end zone, that's another one that made me feel like this game's on someone's on the take here. They want the Chiefs to win. It's better for
them. Or at least
that
to have the Chiefs have a chance.
Holy crap. It felt so shady. So shady. Do you know what game I'm talking about, though, right? The Giants, Niners.
Yeah, was it Jim Burt? Who hit him?
Yeah, I think it was Jim Burt. Oh, you see him buckle.
That destroyed his back.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm watching. Oh, my God.
Oh, McCarthy, have you ever seen
it? No, I've never seen it.
Oh, it's the best.
Oh, man. Oh, I am a sick person.
But there's so much
that again.
There's so much great stuff that happens in that game in terms of the fumble that they caused at the end. There was a fake punt that the Giants call. You Belichick stands. This is one of his marquee games.
It is.
And you know, you watch this game in its entirety. It's a masterclass. It's beautiful. It's great. It's how the game should be, but it's not because it's just so different. It's not just the violence of it. It's just the brilliance of the game plan against that Niners offense. It's beautiful.
Well, they've also, you know, look, player safety is important, and I think we all recognize that. But the problem in terms of watering down the product has been they've coupled player safety with rules that, you know, really inhibit the defense, which is what makes what the Patriots are doing all the more incredible. But it's like, oh, okay, you know, the illegal contact rule and defensive holding and all these ticky-tack little rules that they have. But you know what's funny from a Patriots fan standpoint where you should like where they've changed the rules? I don't know if you saw this, but did you see the interception return that Janoris Jenkins had against the Patriots? Brady tried to get a shoulder in there and sort of, you know, get close to Jenkins and slow down. And Antoine Bethea and Marcus Golden, both, because those are the two guys Brady was running towards trying to take out the blockers. They both, as Tom put his shoulder in, sort of put two hands on him, pushed him, and literally gently guided him to the ground.
I guess
and
I didn't notice that.
This is the second week in a row. Remember the Josh Norman thing, helping him, like, pull the...
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
that's one way, if you're a Patriots fan, the game has changed in your favor. Because you just mentioned Joe Montana, who at that time a lot of people felt greatest quarterback of all time. And the Giants, they were like, we don't care. We're going to blow this guy up. With Brady, I've noticed this year, and no one wants to be the guy that ends Tom Brady's career. Like, they are literally treating him differently. Like, go back and watch this. It's like Golden and Bethea are like, just go down, Tom. And they're, like, literally guiding him to the ground as softly as possible.
Yeah, I'll tell you. So, just I'm thinking, too, because I find myself down this vortex of watching old games in their entirety. Because, again, no commercials. You can take these things down in 2.5 hours or whatever. I went down a 90s Bills rabbit hole. That team, like, it's easy to mock.
They were good.
They were great. You watch some of their playoff games, especially that comeback against the Oilers. You can find that in its entirety on there. There's a 10-7 AFC Championship game that they have against Denver, I think, in 92. That's awesome. Where they beat the bag out of Elway in that game, too. Like, and just watching how it just looks and feels different. In my day, football used to be better. And it was. I promise your calls right after this. Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5 of Sports Hub.
He has completed a minimum of 66% of his passes in every single game. In 4 of the 6 games, he's thrown for over 300 yards. We acknowledge that Edelman isn't 100%. Rob Gronkowski has retired. Josh Gordon's been in and out. We don't know how reliable he is, and he got injured last night. Antonio Brown got exiled, okay? This dude is throwing a guy. Other than Edelman, we don't know who the hell he's throwing to. James White, 1 minute, some dude named Alzuki, or whatever the hell his name is, the other Myers. We don't know what the hell he's working with.
ESPN Stephen A. Smith on the weapons or lack thereof.
Can I ask you a question? Because we mess up on the show, and I mess up and mispronounce stuff and all that stuff. But why is it so funny for somebody on a national sports show to be completely uninformed? Why is that? Why are they getting like a good job guff off from the crowd?
Oh, I don't know. I think he was just trying to be silly there because people in the crowd know it's Olszewski and he says Ozuki and people are just like, oh, you. I don't know. Stephen A's just gotten to that point where people, like, who was it? What was the Hunter Henry thing? What did he butcher last year? There was a tight end, I think, with the Ravens that he said that was still playing and that was a reason, like, in talking about the playoff matchups, like, oh, this is someone you got to be concerned with, and it was someone that was on IR.
Yeah.
Like, that, I think, is way more
egregious
than
that thing
yesterday.
I mean, we all make mistakes, but it's just, I'm just kind of like, why is this, like, something that's like, good job, ha, 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 you don't know this guy's name. It's like, isn't that kind of your job?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I don't know. People just want to be entertained. It's why I think, you know, they roll out Gronk on that Thursday night pregame, and while it was mostly asinine, like, I think the greater masses liked it, because it's like, oh, Gronk, he's like a human golden retriever. Yay.
Yes, yeah. Mostly asinine.
Either way, it's paying. And Stephen A. makes millions
of dollars. Yeah. I mean, generally, I like Stephen A., but I'm just listening to that, and it's like, it's like, you know, I mean, if I didn't know better, I think they had, like, the applause or the laughter sign that, like, was someone who was hitting the button for the crowd, like...
Yeah, and we want to make the correction. It's Leonard Marshall that lights up Joe Montana
in 1990
NFC Championship.
I was right about Jim Burt. It's just that was 1986.
Yeah. You like that, McCarthy?
Oh, that was delicious. Oh, God. And do I feel like sort of a terrible person for reacting the way that I did? Yes. Am I over it now? And do I thoroughly enjoy that hit? Yes.
The other thing, too, I get nostalgic watching these old games again because I'm an old, like, just listening to...
Pat Summerall?
Yeah, Pat Summerall and Madden do these games. Oh, it brings me back. Peter in Hyde Park on the Patriots. Hey, Peter.
Hi.
Hey, Peter.
Two callers ago, a guy did an analysis of the Patriots, which was so good, I almost hung up because it was complete. Nothing more needed to be said. It was fantastic. You know, you remember that analysis that he did?
Yes.
I think that
was
a guy.
Saying they need an offensive lineman more than anything.
Oh, yeah, but he went beyond that. You should get him on the show sometime. That guy was very good. What I want to say is somebody mentioned an apocalyptic event, and I think the next apocalyptic event is going to be the sound of Brady's clavicle snapping as the Ravens run through that sieve of an offensive line. It's like water going through a sieve. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes it is.
At least last
2 weeks,
for sure.
I don't know the exact reason, but I know one of the reasons is the fact that they lost Trent Brown, the best left tackle in the game. So I had a comment and a question.
I don't even think he's playing left tackle for the Raiders, by the way.
Huh?
He's playing left tackle for the Raiders.
Yeah, I know, but the Patriots lost him.
No, I agree. I'm just saying, you're saying the best left tackle. I mean, best left tackle in the game is a little lofty.
Yeah. I don't think so. I think he's the best left tackle in the game, but that's a matter of opinion, I guess.
The best left tackle on his team. Right, Peter, that's what I'm trying to explain.
Yeah, they use him at right tackle. I was with you. This was my main concern going into the season. They should have franchised him. It was like $14 million.
That's
it was, because I know he came in with a bad track record, was lazy. They didn't get the most out of him with the Niners. He played all 16 games. He was the balls last year.
He was good.
And at the very least, you get to bring Isaiah Wynn, who I do think might have some softness to him, a little more slowly. And you at least have a legitimate backup there. Now it's Isaiah Wynn, who's on IR, and Marshall Newhouse, and, like, guys off the street. Like, the old line's a mess. It's the biggest red flag, and I think, you know, the Achilles heel of this team. The wide receiver thing, the weapons, they'll figure it out. Brady will get over it, or he'll have to. The old line, though, that's a massive concern.
Yeah, when you talk about issues, you know, people say, well, you know, injuries are bad luck, and they generally are. This isn't necessarily bad luck for the Patriots, at least when it comes to Isaiah Wynn, because you were counting on somebody who was coming off an Achilles tear as an offensive lineman and had never proven that he could play in the NFL. So first and foremost, you have to prove that you're, you know, starting quality player in the NFL. And I mean, you know, the kid looks talented enough, I guess. But when you're counting on somebody like that to come off that type of injury and you have essentially no backup plan, which the Patriots didn't.
They tried. I mean,
they tried.
They had Jared Valdir, and then he surprisingly retired on them. I don't think they were planning on that. Eventually they went into it without a solid backup plan.
Was Valdir before the draft?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, they could have addressed – didn't they sign Valdir?
He retired in the OTAs, I believe.
He retired, yeah. So that's – but that OTAs would have been
– Oh, right. March?
Well
– it was around the same time.
Yeah, we got to go back. I have to go back and look it up. But, yeah, I mean, they could – I mean, they drafted Yodny Kajust, who's on
non-football injury list.
Yeah, NFI. And so we'll see if there's anything that he can do there. But, yeah, they're in a tough spot. I don't dispute that. But the one thing is, look, I'll crush him as much as anybody. But that's some bad luck with a guy retiring, because they knew they needed that type of guy. They got that type of guy. That type of guy got here and was like, yeah, Bill Belichick, Patriot way, this isn't for me.
May 21st, Mike Reese. Mm-hmm. May 21st. So that's post-draft.
So that was post-draft.
Post-draft. Yeah. Okay.
So they're banking on having him.
But between May 21st and now, they haven't done enough to address that position. And you know, I think that you can levy some criticism at the Patriots on this one, because they really just counted on Wynn. And, you know, again, you know, you've got injury concerns, and can he play? I think he can play, but the injury concerns
are an
issue.
You know what's interesting to me is they went out around the cut day and got Corey Cunningham, and that guy's been consistently inactive the last couple of weeks after being basically, you know, the fill-in guy right away, because it was Newhouse and Cunningham at the tackle spots in that Miami game when Isaiah Wynn went down, and they seem to be going with Jermaine Illuminor instead. So I'm wondering, like, what is it about Cunningham that he's not, with all their issues at tackle, that he's not active? Or are they trying to make Illuminor a tackle? I know he was on as a tackle eligible on a couple of plays on Thursday night, but they went out and got Cunningham to try and plug this Valdir role, and now it's like it seems like they don't think he's that good or don't want to use him.
I'll trust them on that one, though, because I think once you get somebody in-house, like Dante's going to pick the right guy. I just think that they haven't done enough to go outside the organization to address that.
Tom and Quincy, maybe my favorite caller here to the Sports Hub. You're next here on Gaspar Murray. Hello.
Hey, Murray. Yeah, so just wanted to get your guys' insights on the KC-Houston game, which I think Houston's a quiet, you know, top five team in the league right now, but they're getting no love with Deshaun Watson.
Thanks for the call. I thought it was the other Tom, but I appreciate your call anyway, Tom. This is the marquee game of the weekend, I think, and thankfully it's going to be on. It's the early on CBS, Houston at Kansas City. Watson was balls last week. I still worry about him holding on to the ball too long. That offensive line looked a little bit better as of late. Will Fuller's healthy for the first time ever, but he's like Rex Burkhead, just give it a week.
Yeah.
Like, he'll get injured again. But totally. No, offensively, they've looked pretty damn good.
Might get Kenny Stills back this week.
I don't know. Kansas City's had a dip here these last couple of weeks. I feel like they're going to explode this weekend.
Yeah, it should be an interesting game. I mean, we'll see how it goes. I think it could be like a 42-40 type of game at this point. I mean, when you look at what Deshaun Watson did last week, it's a good point the caller brought up. No one's buying into Houston. And I almost feel like that has less to do with Deshaun Watson and more to do with Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, 100%. That's why I don't. That's why I still right now, if you're going to ask me who I think the third best team in the conference is, I'm going to go with Buffalo, even though their quarterback stinks. I like the coach.
Are you serious?
Chris,
no, you cannot do anything with that quarterback. He is terrible.
But you can. That defense is good enough to win.
It is good enough.
10 to 11 games and maybe pull off a playoff upset in the first round. That's it, because they're still the
that
Bills.
That quarterback stinks.
Stinks? Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm going to be honest. I find that quarterback, the fact that he plays and the way he plays, insulting. Yeah, it's like insulting to watch him play the position. He is so clueless in general. And I said this to Maz the other day, and I'll bring it up on the air reluctantly. He is so raw, so clueless, but so wildly athletic that I have to be honest, I feel like if he looked differently, hint, hint, people would be saying he should switch to another position.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, you kind of got that last year with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
You know,
that's my point.
Yeah.
You know, he is that raw. And he struggles that badly to decipher and read defenses that I think if he looked differently, again, hint, hint, he would be asked to move. People would be saying we'd be watching NFL shows on ESPN where people were saying that he should try another position, or maybe they should move him to another position, or he's not really a quarterback.
McCarthy's got your headlines. One open line. You want to join us? We'll run through as many phone calls as we can in our next segment here on Gaspar Murray, 98.5.
This is Gaspar and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm still going to shoot the mid-range. I seen all the people talking about the D. Kobe. Kobe didn't teach me any bad. Everything that we talked about, he showed me was great. You know, last year, the jump that I didn't make, I know that everybody expected, it was not his fault. He's one of the greatest ever, so everything he taught me was I'm very grateful and helped me, but I got to take responsibility how I played last year, not being as the bigger jump that people thought, but I'm still going to shoot mid-range. Yeah, but Kobe didn't teach me any bad habits. I didn't say that.
I just wanted to touch on this real quick. So that was Jason Tatum after last night's Celtics dismantling of the Orlando Magic in the preseason. Celtics now 2-0 in the preseason. But I found this interesting only because, and as we get ramped up into the Celtics and NBA season here over the next few weeks, and I think we have the first Sports Hub Celtics show next Saturday, I found this interesting because Tim Bontemps of ESPN had a column earlier this week on ESPN.com, the de-Kobe-ing of Jason Tatum has begun. I was like, oh, well, this is good news. This is one of the things I'm encouraged by, and there's some quotes in there from Tatum himself, Jay Larinaga, the assistant coach, like, and how they've tried to de-Kobe-fy Jason Tatum and take away that fadeaway jumper that was such a detriment to his game last year. And then he completely contradicted that last night after the preseason game. Like, no, you can't de-Kobe-fy me. Do you think this is just Tatum,
He's
just trying
fanboying on Kobe.
That's
I mean,
all?
I listened to that whole thing, and that's all it is. he doesn't want anyone to blame, you know, his childhood idol, Kobe Bryant, for the way that he played. And he wants to keep the relationship with Kobe. That's good. You know, I think he's going to take fewer mid-range shots. I think that's just a fact. But he doesn't want the blame on Kobe.
Well, I hope so. I mean, because, again, that was such a – oh, God, it was such a detriment to his game last year. And it's – you know, this column talks about how they broke this, like, into a real process. They use stats to show how Tatum could compare with the best players, where he needs to improve. They watch a lot of video, working on his dribbling skills, doing drills designed to increase his playmaking ability, going to the rim. Like, all that's great. And I think he has the ability and body size to do it. It's just like, man, he fell in love with that stupid fadeaway. And he just – that's not his game. So, I don't know. I just, my back went up a little bit. It's like, okay, you're going to un-Kobe-fy yourself. And then he said that last night, not defiantly, but almost like, ah, no, just like, what are you doing? So you just think it's just what? It's
I think it's just Kobe's his boy, childhood idol, you know, was so thrilled when Kobe was like breaking him down in the ESPN detail things. And then he actually took the time to teach him a little bit of stuff. And I think, again, he said it in the clip, you know, no one should blame Kobe. He didn't teach me anything bad. He didn't teach me any bad habits. Look, Jason Tatum also came out and said that he was going to shoot more threes and get to the rim more this year.
Yeah.
And he said that. And so, and that's what that story is basically saying. That's the goal. So I think this is just an impassioned defense of a boyhood idol. I think, you know, again, like most things in sports, Jim, the answer will be in the action. What does he actually do on the court? If he's taking fewer mid-range shots and taking more threes and driving it to the rim more, then we know that he was de-Kobe-fied. If he keeps taking those shots that the Celtics don't think are quality shots, high percentage shots that he was taking last year, then we'll know that what he said about shooting more threes and going to the rim was BS. So it will ultimately be proven out by the way he plays and what his shot selection is.
Rocco and Saugus, though, wanted to mention something about the NBA. Hello, Rocco.
Yeah, I got a question for Chris for the NBA. But first, you start my Saturday with you guys shows are the best, man. Chris, you got the skills, Murray, you got the attitude. So my Saturday, boom, I love it.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Listen, but hey, do you remember that Tom Brady going off a blog against the Jets? Couple of years ago, Chris, and they could have whacked him, but they didn't, man. So I think that royalty on Tom Brady has been going on for a while, man.
Like, yeah, you might be right.
You've been saying it like they've been helping them. Like, people and I mean, the players in the NFL, they respect Brady. Even though he has a lot of diva-ish in him, I think he's not a snob when it comes to NFL players. So, I mean, to attack Tom Brady this season in the offensive line, I think you just need to blitz him. Blitz him, blitz him, blitz him, because, you know, we all see that Tom Brady's not really good in the pocket anymore when he has some pressure. And if he keeps force-feeding James White, I'm so afraid that James White's going to get hurt this season, and then, you know, who else is he going to have to throw it to? And quick on the NBA, Chris, do you think the reason why the Warriors got D'Angelo Russell is because they see what I see in Steph Curry, that he sucks as a true point guard, as a genuine true point guard? I know he's a good scoring point guard, but as a true point guard, he just sucks.
I think you look at the Warriors, they don't need a true point guard. And I mean, they're such a great passing team, and they share the ball so well that they don't need that. I think they got D'Angelo Russell because they know with Klay Thompson out with the ACL that they're going to need more scoring. And they saw what it looked like last year, Jim, when Durant was out and guys were banged up. You know, if it's just Draymond and Steph, Draymond's not a good enough scorer, and they don't have enough around. They're like, we need another scorer. That's why D'Angelo Russell's there.
Jay in Salem on the NFL officiating. Hey, Jay.
Hey, guys. Jimmy, first of all, watch the 1994 Patriots-Dolphins for the best of the 90s football throwback.
That's that crazy shootout down there, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah.
And as you remember, Drew Bledsoe does belong in the Hall of Fame.
Jim just endorsed that tape.
the thing with the officiating and this year with it being the replays for pass interference is I'm panicking. Because when they were all up in arms a couple of years ago about what's a catch and what's not a catch, they decided to change their definition in the Super Bowl, and it didn't really affect the outcome, but the Eagles got a touchdown they didn't really deserve. My big fear is they're going to wait till it's a big game, big moment, and then they're going to take one of these plays, maybe even a ticky-tack play, and they're gonna finally say, oh, yep, that, well, we missed it. Sorry.
Yeah, you know, that's there's precedent there. I know what you're talking about, because at the time, I was so fed up with the way that they were handling the catch no catch thing, even though I wanted the Patriots to win. There was part of me that respected that they changed the rule almost on the fly in the Super Bowl, and that lost to the Eagles. And that was the Corey Clement. It looked like if that was earlier in the season, that would have been negated.
Yep.
That's interesting. You know, maybe they there still be such an uproar.
Backlash.
Yeah, and backlash that they wait till the postseason or even the Super Bowl and then they do it.
Oh, no.
Oh, people
I know what's
going to
happen. Hey, Patriots fans, you know what they're waiting for? Yeah, they're waiting for the AFC Championship game, Chiefs-Patriots, here, Gillette Stadium. They're waiting for Patrick Mahomes to Tyreek Hill pass. That's when they're going to decide to change the rule, just so you know.
Doug in the car, you're next here on Gaspar Murray. Hello, Doug.
Hey guys, thanks. Real quick, I don't think this is going to end up happening, right, with Antonio Brown coming back to the pass, but what would that look like? So if they brought him back, would he have to, like, let the grievance go? Could they just get rid of that whole contract and do something game to game? I mean, it seems desperate, like he wants to come back. Is there a way that Bill Belichick can, you know, really put the screws to him financially and help the team out?
All right, I don't know what's going on in the background.
What class of submarine do you think he's on right now? Is that destroyer class?
I don't know.
Is that you know, Russian Akula? What do you think he's doing?
This is. Are you? How do you know names of subs?
I don't know. There's just stuff in my brain.
Okay. I know your steak and cheese, your Italian, meatball. Those are the subs that I know. So the two things that people are, again, I think you kind of forget with Antonio Brown, who's been clamoring for people to pay attention to him again on social media, shocker, and trying to get back with the Patriots because, hey, they're already paying me. May as well bring me back. He'd find himself on the commissioner's exempt list immediately, I would think, while these cases, plural, are pending surrounding him and the chaos in his personal life. And he burned the owner on Twitter. Like, Robert Kraft is not having him back. Like, you got to get over the Antonio Brown thing. You got to. Let's go to Alan, California, with a thought on Sony Michel. Hey, Alan.
Hi, my phone might suck, too. Sorry, guys.
That's okay.
Do you guys remember the last game where Charlie Weiss was the offensive coordinator? I look at that Super Bowl versus the Eagles, and the creativity that they had on offense versus that incredible defense of the Eagles was amazing. It just seems like they're not using the guys that they have on the field to their optimum, you know, to their optimum ability.
With Josh McDaniels, the thing that, look, the game plan they ultimately came up with the last two games of the regular season, what they went with the postseason last year was brilliant. You know, they realized this is how we're going to have to win. We're going to change things on the fly. We're going to be, you know, run first, set up play action, and it worked brilliantly. But there's times where he makes me crazy. The 4th-and-1 direct snap to James White last week against the Redskins that got blown up made me nuts. Trying to run off the edge a couple of times that got blown up immediately by the Giants in this past game where they can't block off the edge. They can't block the run on the edge. And there was 1 3rd-and-1, and that was on the sequence that led to the Wang Dang left post clang from Nugent with his terrible missed field goal. The operation was screwed up too. But those trying to like run on the edge, like, you know, you can't do it. Why even play? Why? What's that play call? Like, he drove me nuts in this past game.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that a little bit. You know, I think in general that Josh is pretty creative, and I think I'll go back to that Washington game plan. I thought that they tried to do some creative things. They actually, to me, tried to go back to the old spread them out, two tight ends. We're going to change formations, but not change personnel and go hyper speed, which they were doing in the glory days of Hernandez and Gronkowski. They tried to do that. And Zoe said this on the broadcast on Thursday, I believe. You know, they just don't have the weaponry right now to do that. And so I think the creativity is limited by the availability of personnel, like what they have right now. And I think they've done a couple of creative things, you know, trying to get Sony Michel, like the first play of this Giants game, you know, motion him out and get him out in space and try and get him out there. They've tried to do some of those things, but, you know, right now I just feel like they're limited. They're limited by the capability of the personnel that they have.
Terry in West Roxbury, you'll be the final call today on Gaspar Murray.
Hey, Big Jim Murray, I am your biggest Jim Gray fan because I tweet you a lot about this.
Oh, thanks,
your impersonations. But I have a question. I'm about to really buy tickets to the Super Bowl, not knowing who's going to be there. But what determines which side of the field is AFC and NFC? Because obviously I'd like to get tickets on the side of the AFC, but how does that is that determined?
I don't know. There's obviously home and visitors, but I don't know how they – I mean, I would try and look up that stadium and figure out – which side is the home side normally and which side is the visitor side normally. And then you have to figure out last year's Super Bowl and, you know, who was the home team and who was the visiting team.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's how I think you would do it. So last year the Patriots were the road team, technically, right? Because they were wearing their road jerseys. The Rams had their home. It being an AFC stadium with the Dolphins. Look what side the Dolphins normally are. Look that up on, like, you know, secondary markets.
Yeah.
And then I would guess that that's the side the AFC would also be on for the Super Bowl.
But again, knowing knowing Belichick, he'll be like, I don't like this right. side of the field. We want to be on the other side, like, you know. Like,
I can understand that. I'm taking my 18-year-old nephew, and last summer I talked to Dan, Fist of Cats Lipstats, who told me, don't buy the tickets. But now I'm like, I think I'm going to get the tickets. So I'm just trying to figure out what side we should be on, basically.
Yeah, well, as long as you're in the building, Terry, if you've never been to one, it's worth it no matter where you are.
Except for when Jim left U.S. Bank Stadium in the middle of that Super Bowl.
Not the middle. Once Brady got sacked and fumbled, that's when I left, because the game was already over,
okay,
and I was done. And I still get mocked by people. You left after the second period of Game 7 of the Bruins. Yeah, I should have left after the first, because it was over after that.
That week of the Super Bowl, you should have left as soon as you got to the airport. You should have turned back around and gotten a flight back.
Yeah. I can't believe you guys are bitching. If you were there, you would have known. What a hell.
Well, tell you what, if you want to know what that week was like, go to the North Shore Mall and spend a week in the food court, because that was that Super Bowl.
Yeah. Oh, and our hotels, too, are the equivalent of telling someone, come visit Boston, but stay in Danvers. Well, God. Oh, Jesus. That was awful. Okay. Five questions for Chris Gasper. Got nothing to do with sports. Next.
Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I got five questions for Chris Gasper of the Globe. I got five questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got five questions.
Five. One, two, three, four, five.
I got five questions. I hope this segment ain't too wack.
All right. Wrapping up the show like we normally do, five questions for Chris Gasper have nothing to do with sports. And as of yesterday, I didn't even know if we'd be doing this today, because I thought the Revs were on against Atlanta, but that's actually next week. Sorry about that.
Yeah, you like ruined my Saturday.
Yeah, we're only on for 2 hours. No, we're not. Question number one, Chris. A survey says that men generally do not mind dating taller women. Before you got married, did you ever date anyone taller than you?
Yeah, my wife's taller than me.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, she is.
But not by much.
It's a good inch and a half.
Are you wearing, do you wear, lifts or something?
No. I'll tell you a real quick story about my wife. First couple of dates we went out, I was like, this girl's so cool. She's, easy breezy. She always wears flats. And then one day it dawned on me, oh, wait, it's because I'm short. It has nothing to do with being easy breezy. This is her fashion, whatever. It's nope, I'm short. A total, Nicole Kidman, Tom Cruise situation.
Yeah, so as a tall, 6'4", I never dated anyone taller than me. There was someone that was interested in me that was taller than me. I'm going back 20 years, but she was an Amazon. And I was ugh, no. Real pretty face. But I just can't do it. Tracy, who Ray gave these questions, says, I personally would never date a short guy. Maybe that makes me an awful person. No, it doesn't, Tracy. You just like what you like. I like what I like.
Tracy, you are not an awful person, but I expect better from you. I have to say, because I'm short, so there were times I know women eliminated me just on height alone. And so, I just think it doesn't really – it's never mattered to me. I never really get – maybe it's something that's just programmed into the DNA of women where they feel like, okay, I have to have someone who's taller than me. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I mean, be mad at your folks and their genetics. That's what it is.
Yeah, I'm
sure. Question number two. The Flyers apparently have a new disassembly room, otherwise known as a rage room.
I like
that
it.
Lets fans smash TVs and every other day items.
Or no, this is known as a hotel room to Jim Murray, but go ahead.
That was in 2003 when the Red Sox blew it to the Yankees, which is crazy now because I so couldn't care less about the Red Sox. But fans have to make a reservation and can only access the room before, during, and after games. Would you ever want to do this?
Yes, definitely. I would totally do it. I think this is great. I think more places should have this room. I love it.
I have so needed this in the past, a lot mostly for Patriots-related stuff. But, yes, I did once trash a Miami hotel room when the Red Sox blew it.
And just quickly, if there's any city that needs this, it's Philadelphia.
Yeah, no, I'm into this. Question number three, any expressions you're sick of hearing? For example, living the dream. It's almost Friday.
Yes, living my best life. I'm done with that.
Oh, I hate living my best life.
Yeah.
Because, no, you're not. You're just lying on Instagram. Exactly. Nobody's life's that good. Question number four. How do you cook bacon, Chris, in a pan, oven, or the microwave?
I would hand it to my wife, and she would cook it.
Make sure the grease doesn't get over my clothes, honey. Question number five, is it okay to put up Christmas decorations before Halloween?
No. No. Definitely not.
No, it is not. And all the stores have already done it. I went to Home Depot the other day, and all the trees, stop it. It's not even, it's October 12th. Get that stuff the hell out of here. You got to put it up a little before Halloween, fine, but it's too early. All right, so concludes our show. Thanks. Boy, you were real offended by that short thing.
Like, yeah, I'm just, you know, because, I mean, there were definitely, I mean, I have some bad memories of college being eliminated by girls just solely on my height. Like, what? Literally, like, oh, if you were a few inches taller.
Life, like, is cold like that. Hey, you know.
I can't control that.
All right. For Matt McCarthy, Tracy Clements for producing today's show, you, if you joined us on the phone line, and Chris, always a pleasure.
Good to see you, buddy, even though it was for 3 hours, not the two that you promised.
I got it mixed up at the Revs games. Next week.
Well, see, the reason I'm going to eat an Arkansas time. The reason I'm mad about this is because I was attempting to explain to you during Felger and Maz that you were incorrect, but you said, no. I talked to assistant programming director here, Rick Radzik, and you said, oh, no, it's all, I straightened it all out.
I'm in the control room
with Jimmy, and he has his tweet deck up, and I see a tweet that someone tweeted at you about the game being next week, and you said, oh, I screwed that up. And I was literally talking to Jimmy as it happened, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, my bad. Chris and Arkan's coming up next. Hey, Arkan, how long are you on for today? What's going on?
I'm on till 4, then it's Joe Murray. By the way, I heard that too when you said there's a Revs game, and I thought, oh, great. The schedule must be wrong. I got the day off.
Sorry.
That's terrific, but not so much. By the way, Gasper, props, because not everyone who gets rejected by girls because of their height turn out like you do. Some turn out like that bagel man.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Like, that was his whole problem, right? Because girls were turning him down because he was too short.
That's correct.
So, you know, you can take it one way, you can take it the other way.
I could have become a short incel. There's a lot of those.
Most definitely. We're going to talk some Patriots here, talk about the slate of games tomorrow in the NFL, and get to some Celtics thoughts from that game last night. We'll take some phone calls,
all right,
too, I think.
Arkan, Sean Silver, you want to get on with them? 617-779-0985. Talk to you Monday with Felger and Mez. Adieu.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.